Well, good evening. Hi, this is Jan Sircone.
This is Matt Kramer.
Live from Ordinary Miracles.
In downtown Cotati, California.
Yeah. I love that name, Ordinary Miracles. Do you want to tell that story again?
Is this a good time?
Yeah.
Okay.
Beginning of the show, top of the show, right.
All right. Well, my wife and I, my wife's Treya Palmer, and she's a naturopath, and we decided about 2 years ago we wanted to sort of add to the health clinic by opening a little retail section. And we were at a house concert with a young lady named Rebecca Troon performing out of Santa Barbara. And one of the songs she sang, which is a really sweet song, is called Ordinary Miracles.
Mm.
And Treya leaned over to me and said, do you think she'd let us use that title for the store? She really liked the title. So when the set was over, we talked to Rebecca, and she was very gracious. Said she'd be honored if we used the title. And she went back to Santa Barbara. And maybe 8 or 9 months later, the store was open, and we said, let's do some shows in the store. And the first person to perform in the store was Rebecca. And Rebecca didn't remember anything about us asking her about using the name. So she drove up from Santa Barbara to Cotati, which is about probably a six-hour drive, and pulled into the address we gave her and looked up and saw the name, Ordinary Miracles, and said, oh, what a nice coincidence. She totally forgot that we had...
See, that's a happy story. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. That's a good name. Now, the reason Matt and I arranged to be here every Wednesday night is that I think we both believe in our hearts that miracles should be ordinary. And
well, they are, right? My experience.
Well, mine too. Okay, me too.
Yeah.
I jump in there. And we have made a commitment to serve this planet through sound, through healing through sound. And the first part of the program, we usually talk about how we do that. I use a program called the Voice Bio. I'll back up a little bit. I'm Jan Sircone. I'm a music practitioner. My background is in nursing, and I teach at the Psychoacoustics Institute in San Francisco how to use your voice for healing. But it's really more frequencies, and our entire body is made of frequencies, a vibrational matrix. And the program that I use is the Voice Bio, and you can speak into a microphone, and it actually plots the energetic balance or imbalance of your body. So when you take a look at that, it really shows people that they're music, because then when you give a name to the ranges of the frequencies, it's the notes in the piano. La, 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 la. Matt's laughing. So if you're low, say, in the C vibration note, chances are you have a low thyroid. And then we look at there's a lot of specific patterns, low in C, low in B, high in E, immune system breakdown. And the beauty is having been a singer all my life and then a nurse, I can actually work with people to sound the vibrations they're low in and rebalance their health. I know it sounds wild, but it is the future of medicine, energy medicine.
So I may have asked you this last week, but let me ask you again. When I had a session with you, you said I need to tone G.
Mm-hmm.
And what will toning a G do for me?
Well, you're low in G. So that could be that you have some low back pain, which is draining your energy. It could also be... your digestive processes and your parasympathetic nervous system needs a little more innervation, excitement, more energy. So you would tone that note, and that would increase all of those different things that reside within. It's kind of a meridian, and it shares a tritone relationship with another note. So it's very fascinating how the body is constantly trying to rebalance itself. So in other words, if you're having low back pain, that is draining your energy. It's draining it.
Actually, the second part you said resonates. I had a session today with a Dr. Brandy McCanns, who does energetic healing, and she talked about resistance in the parasympathetic system.
Yes.
Do you know Brandy?
No, but I have actually put her workshops with Hannah Karate on my little monthly newsletter before, which... If you would like to get a free monthly newsletter about sound healing, you can go right on my website, musicforjoyandhealing.com. I'd be glad to send that to you.
I guess it's my turn.
It's definitely your turn, Matt.
Sometimes I tell people the difference between what Jan does, what I do, is Jan uses frequencies in the voice to learn more and help heal the physiological aspects of the body. I use frequencies in the voice to help heal the emotional aspects. I do something called voice mapping, which is a biofeedback process where you talk into a microphone and talk about something specific. And there'll be frequencies missing in your voice that are connected to stress, subconscious or historical stress, that affect the voice. And by taking those frequencies, not the words, but biofeedback, using the frequencies and feeding them back to you, that helps release the places where that stress is buried. So the memory or the impact of the memory can be surfaced and processed and released. And for more information on voice mapping, you can go to my website, mattkramer.com, mattkramer.com, and click on the Emotional Healing with Voice Mapping banner.
What's fun is that I take a look at the body, and the body line above it, that when you have frequencies that go above your body line, it shows that you have vibrations coming in caused by hot emotions. And then that shifts your physicality. So when I see people with heavy frequencies, say more than three above the body line, then I can say, you need to go see Matt Kramer.
Mm-hmm.
You have some emotions here that are draining your other bodily systems. It's actually, again, it's so synchronized, the whole body. You can't really separate the two.
Well, it's related to what we said earlier. And you say, actually, our bodies are made of frequencies. The universe is made of frequencies.
Mm-hmm.
And everything is being connected in those
mm-hmm.
ways.
Even rocks have frequencies, a little slower and a little denser. So we will actually be at the Masonic Health Fair in Sebastopol. Are you be there on December 8th?
You'll be there, but I'm performing a wedding, so I couldn't do it this time.
Oh, usually our tables are right next to each
right.
other. And yeah, I see the emotional basket cases. Oops, I mean people with emotional issues. And I send them right over to Matt. And it's just fascinating, this whole field. Tonight we have an amazing guest. Speaking of frequencies, she is helping change the frequency of the female population and hence the male population for planetary healing through the message of the Super Resonant Illuminator, who that's my code name for Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene is the archetype female that is coming and speaking to hordes of women. It's amazing. My partner and I this weekend are having a workshop on the mysteries of Mary Magdalene. It's a much bigger scope than this one personality. What we're looking at is the fact that women can be ignited with the Christ energy. In fact, I believe, in many of the books I've read, believe that Mary Magdalene was a woman anointed by Christ in light. One of the famous sound healers, Tom Kenyon, has written the Mary Magdalene manuscript, where she herself comes through as channeled and stated as such that she ran the energies that she learned as a priestess in the Church of Isis, as well as Mother Mary was a priestess, and they learned the inner alchemies of igniting their energy, their frequencies, to such a level that their pranic tube can open to their crown chakra and, in fact, had gone to cosmic consciousness, God knowledge, creator sources, many, many, many different names. So Mary Magdalene, being the feminine and the magnetic nature and her partner in sacred union, Christ, being the electric male, together, the magnetic and the electric together form this energetic matrix. It's called an implosion, actually. So I'm getting pretty deep here in the subject, and that's just one aspect, and many people feel that that's just a story, that in fact they weren't a couple.
I'd like our listening audience to know that Jan is not reading anything. This is all coming out of her mouth.
Absolutely. I am devoted to the principle of the sacred divine feminine rising up through women's bodies and their voices, finding their power. And I believe that Mary Magdalene is the woman coming and speaking to their psyche and whispering, blossom, feel your passion, heal the world through the feminine, through their energies, and actually through their womb, their creative, energetic sources. And many people say it begins with Kundalini, the energies of passion there, which many Tibetan, many of the ancient mystics use the energies that go up the spine and actually ignite the pineal gland to take in light. And again, we become antennas for crucifying time and space so that we can move into other realms. We can create miracles. Your hands begin to radiate. And Christ said, all this too you shall do and more. So what I'm getting is that the seeds that were planted in the Christ camp and all the beings that were there 2,000 years ago made a promise to come back. And many of them are coming now, being reborn as leaders, and they're bringing Christ consciousness, the light, and it's not just for men, it is for women. And in fact, the women of that time, the disciples of Christ, they were taught this inner alchemy. So this is all the impulse of the sacred divine feminine, and I wrote an article, which is why we chose Mary Magdalene. She makes it safe to open our mouths and our legs again. In other words, she's a much more accessible image than the beautiful Mother Virgin Mary in her blue and virginness. And so I try to stay open-minded and say that however God's source comes through for people, it can be the Divine Mother, it can be Mary Magdalene, but Mary Magdalene is speaking to women. And our guest tonight, Katie Ketchum, had her visitation come. Katie Ketchum is a writer, a composer, an amazing performer, fabulous singer. And many years ago, she wrote a story about Mary Cassatt, the Impressionist painter, made it into a video. It was a beautiful program, and she won the National Endowments for the Arts. So you can imagine how talented this woman is. Mary Magdalene tapped her on the shoulder and said, through spirit, just as Mary Magdalene has come to me, and said, Katie, I would like to use your talents to help people understand the mysteries. And let's do it in rap. Let's do it in a fabulous, wild, rollicking story. And so Katie can tell you a little bit more of how this all came about. So we're going to welcome you, Katie.
Oh, hi.
Hi, welcome.
Wow, what an introduction. Thank you.
There you are. Well, that was a mouthful. I'm ready to let my mouth rest here a little bit. I'll let Matt begin the interview.
This is great.
Hi, Katie. Welcome to Live at Ordinary Miracles.
Oh, thank you, Matt.
Welcome.
Thank you.
And I'm looking at your bio and your history on your website, katieketchum.com. If anybody wants to look that up, it's KATIEKETCHUM.com. And what would you like people to know about yourself, Katie?
Wow. Oh, I guess I'd like people to know about the show because it's a really big thing for me. It's I think the big message is inclusiveness and all the things Jan said, and I think that's the main thing. And
when she first came to you, did you feel like, yes, I have to do this, or did you say, wow, why did she choose me? Or is this, what was your first thought when she first brought this impulse to you?
Well, the first time it was she brought it to me was about 23 years ago, and I wrote one song, and then I was terrified. I was terrified I'd get lynched or something in the performing it, because there were, even at that time, there were a couple of different stories that were contradictory. And so then about 23 years later, I was speaking with a spiritual counselor, and he said, you really need to do another show. And I went through lists and lists of women, and when I saw Mary Magdalene's name again, I felt all this energy, physical
chills.
Energy.
Yes, that's how spirit tells us you're on the right track.
So
yeah, it was some kind of, it was almost
right?
like static electricity, kind of,
uh-huh.
internally.
I'm getting that Mary Magdalene was being very patient for 23 years.
Yeah. Well, 2000, what's 23?
And again, I did what you mentioned. I said, I had conversations with her, and I said, I just don't feel, I feel this is a real dangerous thing to take an archetype or a person of this fame, you know, in the Bible and represent her on stage. And I said, I don't know if I can do this, and I'm not worthy of it. And it was just what you said. I was not willing to take it on. And then when I heard the rap song, you know, I had to be a rap singer in one of the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
That was just too much for me. I said, you got to be kidding.
Yeah, down to the river, down to the river. That's great.
You got to be totally kidding. And so then I actually did the show at Spreckles. Was one of the first place I did it. And I didn't have the rap song in it. And then a little while later, she came knocking again and said, you have to put that rap song in there. You know, you have to make, and it happened. I came to the computer and it's a long song, and it came out in, I should have sent you that one actually, but it came out in about 5 minutes, perfect, like no editing.
Absolutely. It was already done in the ethers.
Yeah, it was like she was dictating it. It was really wild.
Are you able to do a verse or two of that rap?
Here I'm talking about it. I don't. You know what I actually did is, I can find it here on the computer. What I actually did is I taped, I had it recorded, and I had my voice lowered. So in the actual show, I don't sing it. I dance, and then the CD goes on. And my lower voice, you know, which is electronically lowered, goes on. But
Katie,
I do have it in the script. I do have some of the words. I could do a little of it.
We're not sure if your songs actually got
if
over.
If they came through.
And they were able to use them. So feel free to play something and then just put your little mic right up there. So as you're thinking of these, if they're available, if you... your husband there to help you.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
One of them. That'd be great.
Well, I don't know how it'll come out, but I can try that. Yeah.
We've tried all kinds of things here, and they've all worked.
Yeah, they're great. Our listeners love it. It's just same con, right?
It's wild.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me get over here to the piano. And
let me ask you this. Are you Catholic?
No, I'm not.
Well, that was probably helpful. Right. because one of your songs talks about, it's so hilarious, that the Pope has kept you on your back all these years, and you are just ready to stand up and say you are no prostitute. I love that song.
Let's see. Hey, Mike, can you hold this for a minute? Do you mind being on the radio?
This
is my husband, Mike.
It. I'm not happy in this position. It's so funny. All the costumes.
I'm not comfortable in this position. For 1400 years you kept me down. You threw away all my gospels. Why did you take away my crown? Anyway, how did that come out?
Fabulous.
It worked.
Oh, you could hear
great.
It. What?
Really great.
Oh, good.
Yeah, they could really get the feel of it and how peppy the words are. That's really wonderful. In a little while, I want you to bring on the beautiful song of We Will Wait for the Love.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, in a little bit after
we
talk a little bit more. So what I find amazing is that you can do this show, and you can have feminists there who applaud it. You can have people on the fence, even staunch Catholics, and it could be just light entertainment for them. And it just gives people an imaginary of the possibilities of some of these things being true, or just light entertainment. The way that you handle it so cleverly is just, to me, one of the most amazing aspects.
Oh, wow. Thank you. Yeah, it was quite a night. I think you were there, Jan, in Sebastopol at the Center for the Arts. And you know, one part of the audience were traditional Christians, and the other side were priestesses and
I was on the priestess side.
All alternative people, and everybody was singing together.
And your mom was there too.
And my mother.
Big time. Oh yeah.
But I think that's the wonderful thing about Mary Magdalene. I think she brings everyone together, and also somehow, you know, helped me with the material where it got everybody on the same page.
She lets everyone be themselves without judgment, and she also supports women being in love with their bodies and enjoying the sensuality of their bodies as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's, to me, one of the more important messages she's bringing. So just tell us a little bit about the different vignettes. You do Isis.
Mm-hmm.
And tell about Marlene.
Okay, so you want me to mention the Isis one first?
Yeah.
Okay. I have there's a lot of different stories that are researched, and the Isis myth is an important story, and the way it goes is that Isis sent Mary Magdalene from Egypt on a mission to help Jesus, or many people say it, you know, say his name different, Yeshua, there's many different ways. And anyway, to help him break through the gates of hell after he died. And so what I've done with this with this story, because there's many of them, I have Mary Magdalene speaking to Jesus on a cell phone. He's in hell. And I dialed him on my cell phone and I asked him not to fear. All you have to do, dear, is pretend that I am near. And all he said was, get me out, get me out. And then I whispered softly just between us, it has to do with me and your love. This energy you feel will free you. Then he burst through the gates of hell. He remembered how it went darn well. So that's a little of that song.
I like that song.
It's kind of condensing a lot of material into one, you know, comic song for that.
And you're alluding to the sacred love union that they had there. And he was, you know, happy to know that the energies that they could run together could help him go into the different places he needed to go.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And who is Marlene?
Okay, and then Marlene. Marlene is a character. What happened is, as I researched this over a couple of years, it was just a pageant play. I mean, it just, the first few drafts were just one scene after another trying to get the whole entire history of mankind in it. And so I was down in Fairfax, actually, and I went to see one of the legends of rock and roll, and her name is Wanda Jackson, and she was the first woman in rock and roll, and she opened for Elvis. She was Elvis's girlfriend for a while, and she came on stage, and she with her Oklahoma accent, and the funniest thing is right in the middle, she did a witness. She started talking. She stopped the band, and she started talking about Jesus. And everybody was just standing
That's
there
a
like
showstopper.
Dumbfounded, huh?
That's a showstopper.
It was wild. And she had the ring that Elvis gave her. So I'd also about that time, one of the famous playwrights had died. I'm trying to remember. I can't remember which one. But anyway, Arthur Miller, I think it was. So I came home that night, and I went, you know, I said, I want this to be a real play, you know, a really good play, too. Mm-hmm. And what could take it out of this pageant form where it just, you know, passion play form where it just goes on and on and on. And all of a sudden, I saw, quote-unquote, saw Mary Magdalene as, from the Gospel of Mary Magdala, mm-hmm. as this trailer park lady, like Wanda Jackson, a rockabilly singer named Marlene.
Mm-hmm.
And so she comes out and she...
The connection, Mary Magdalene, Marlene, right?
Yeah, exactly. So she comes out, she holds the show together. She's a the trailer park trash, really. And she has had, she's met this man in the bar and had an awakening. And then when he died, he left the band to her. Mm-hmm. So that's the premise. And she, with her southern accent and everything, and she, it's, what I have is a, I have an exact translation, or almost an exact translation of the document that was found 100 years ago, but it's in a rockabilly version. It's in her slang, her southern accent, you know, working with the band after.
Okay, to what you just hinted there, again, it's like you're saying it in a in an allegory, a story, but she worked with Jesus, and he died, and she's still speaking to him, and he left the band to her.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
He, many people, the Mary Magdalene following, believe that the Christian church was left to Mary Magdalene.
Yes.
And it was railroaded.
Yes.
By Peter.
Mm-hmm.
Peter and the other guys. That, in fact, it was to be hers, and that, that's a very deep story. I'm sure the Cathars and the Templars would have a lot to say about that.
Mm-hmm.
In southern France, and that's where the entire mystery, the Da Vinci Code, gets very deep at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Do you also allude to if they were married, children? Do you bring that up in your musical? And also, what do you think about that?
Yes, I do that. I do bring that up, and I bring it up as Marlene. Later, she lets it spill out that she had a child. And also, there's a scene where she's the bride widow, that she's left Jerusalem and she's on a boat to France to escape probably being killed herself after the wedding with Jesus, and he's been killed. You know, the thing is that the interesting thing is that the Gnostics, there's a whole group of people, the Gnostics. They don't tend to believe that she was married. They feel that women would be just as empowered or more empowered of with her just being a person without having to be married to Jesus or Christ. But the person that really has written a lot of books about it and done a lot of research that I really enjoyed was Starbird.
Margaret Starbird, yes.
Yes. And she has a lot of really convincing material from the Old Testament, from the Bible itself. The Songs of Solomon describe a dark woman like Mary Magdalene.
And she was dark, yes.
And so the more I worked with this, you know, I tried to keep very uninvolved at first, you know, just like a reporter. I wanted to write a good play, but the more I got, you know, the closer in acting out all this material, and the closer I got to it, I really feel that they were married.
Well, it's very compelling when you look at the fact that if he was a Jewish rabbi,
mm-hmm.
In fact, they were usually married.
Yes.
And some of the activities, kissing her on the lips. Now,
mm-hmm.
that was usually with your wife. All the different mores and the rules of society at that time would have dictated that he was. But then again, the Gnostics and some of the other books that I'm looking into say that he was to not have any sexual activity. No seed of the Christ one would go into any woman.
Mm-hmm.
And that, in fact, they just shared an energetic, etheric relationship,
mm-hmm.
and were able to commune with their heart energy. And that, and in fact, had an alchemy all of its own.
Yeah.
So again, you're doing a great service just by mentioning the possibility through entertainment, and the people are going to these various books.
Yes, exactly.
But I think Starbird has done a lot of wonderful investigations.
No. And you know, the word married is open to interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, I think they had something going on there. We may not know exactly what it was, but it was pretty amazing and intense.
Soulmates. They were soulmates.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Historically, that's a pretty rich subject. You know, when did the concept of marriage actually start? Mm-hmm. You know, and the ritual and traditions behind that.
Mm-hmm.
Coming back to Earth a little bit,
mm-hmm.
Did you grow up in a musical household?
Yeah, well, yes. My father was an untrained singer and guitar player, and my sister, well, she's a younger sister, but my dad was he was the only one. My mother wasn't so musical, but he was intent, you know, that I would get a musical education, you know, so I had the piano lessons and all of that. But there was a lot of my grandfather was a bluegrass musician, and my father and he, you know, they would play it at family reunions, and there was a lot of music. It wasn't exactly the music that, you know, I've since gotten involved in, but there was a, you know, there was a lot of music that way.
Can you talk more about, you know, how and when music began to influence you?
How and when? Well, I think it started actually with my grandfather, and you know, he would teach me songs, and then he would teach me songs on the guitar.
And how old were you then?
He taught me songs when I was about 5, and then when I was, I've never even talked about this stuff. Then when I was about 9, I started piano lessons, and then I got involved in classical music and loved it. But then I wanted to write my own songs, and so I've been writing songs since, I think my first song was when I was about 15. So the singing and the songwriting are the passion, but I really trained to be a concert pianist, and I still do some of that, you know, here and there. But
concert pianist, a little background in bluegrass and rap.
There you go.
Actually, Katie, you have been an educator in our area for quite some time, and my little children that are now in college and beyond, you were their piano teacher. Remember when I had you come to Sonoma Country Day and you had the entire group creating music on the spot?
Wow.
You are a light to the music community. You now work at the Sebastopol. Tell us about your work there.
Oh, I have a studio at the Sebastopol Community Center, and I teach small groups of children piano and voice and theory, and this year I'm going to start teaching 3- and 4-year-olds. I'm going to start them even younger. Then I'm doing this play, and, you know, I'll be doing it in Sacramento in April.
The Mary Magdalene play. Tell the listeners about that.
Yeah, the...
Sacramento.
In Sacramento. It's going to open April 16th, although that day is sold out, I've heard. But... It's opening April 16th, and it's going to May 11th, and I'm going to do it 7 times a week. I'm going to do it 28 times.
Wow.
It's really a dream come true. And I don't sound crazy, but I feel Mary Magdalene, I mean, this is the most successful any of my projects have become out in the world. And I think it's because she has a hand in it, you know. And so anyway, the tickets, you can learn more about it on... www.sactheater.org, and then I just sent an email out about this. There's also a phone number. If people don't have the computer, but probably people listening to this do have the computer.
Oh yeah, they're on their computers.
Yeah, so it's www.sactheater.org, and it has all the information under shows. You just go down and it says Magdalene, and it has all the information. And I'm going to live out there for 4 or 5 weeks. And
on the road with Mary Magdalene.
Yeah, I'm just going to do that, eat and sleep and perform.
I'm sure you sent an invite to the governor.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yes, sir. That would be fun.
Have him come over. You had us runs here in our area, Sonoma County, and then a nice run in San Francisco, and I understand you have your sights on New York as well.
Yes. And, you know, I think with the Sacramento deal that, you know, it'll be, I just have a feeling it's going to happen.
It's going to launch. Well, I'm sure that Mary Magdalene is right there inserting all of her beautiful energy into your work to see that this message gets out. I want to be sure that we have time to either play live, or if you have a recording there of the beautiful song of The Love. that Yeshua and Mary Magdalene shared. Is that available, Katie?
Oh, I just have an idea. Maybe I can try the iTunes here. Yes, I think it's on, I have it right here on iTunes.
Great.
So I'll get that up. Let me see.
Is it for sale on iTunes?
I got to get it on the, you know where my stuff is for sale, usually at CD Baby, but I haven't gotten this one there, and I got to send it to them. But this particular song is on iTunes and CD Baby, because it's on another CD of mine, this Hold Me. And here we go, Mary Magdalene.
It's so beautiful. It's one of those timeless love songs.
And, okay, and Jan actually sang this so beautifully too and made a recording of it. How's this?
A little bit louder.
Hold me till I feel your touch.
Can you hear it?
That's nice.
Hold me till I see who you are.
Some of it.
So beautiful.
And I.
Did you want to hear more?
That's up to Jan. You want to hear more, Jan?
Oh, that's good. I have it at home. Actually, Katie sent me a beautiful CD one time, and I did need to do a demo, and I asked Katie if I could sing that song for the demo. It's so beautiful.
And you made me cry when I listened to it.
Sometimes when we hear someone else sing our music, we can listen to it from a different perspective.
It was wonderful. Thank you.
Such a beautiful song.
So much.
Can you talk about your connection with Mother Teresa?
Well, what happened there is I was reading a yoga magazine, and there was this priest who was working with her, and he was he felt actually that Jesus was a yogi, and he was teaching yoga to her rehab center clients, so to speak. And so what I did, I had done a whole series of songs based on the 12 steps that I had used for grief processing. And so I also had a student who wanted to make an album out of it, and she'd written 12 songs as well. So I sent it to this priest in India, and he took it to Mother Teresa, and she listened to the songs, and he was the liaison. He wrote back that she really enjoyed them, and she was going to play them in her rehab centers across India. And I sent me special prayers. Then they wanted me to come to India, and I didn't quite make it, but I felt my songs did. So that was a huge thing in my life. I felt that was a real pinnacle for having, you know, Mother Teresa listening to my songs and playing them to her her people for healing. And what he felt is that a lot of the people who she found in the streets, and a lot of them have had addiction problems, and so he did yoga with them, and then he played my songs and on the tape. And so that's the extent of that. I wish I had gone, but I had at the time, again, I had a fear of at that time in my life, I was always picking up, you know, viruses and things, and I was afraid to go, but my songs went.
Now
I'm going, oh, Katie, come on, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've known you for 20 years, and to me, it's no mystery why Mary Magdalene chose you. I've seen you to be a pure channel of joyful music, and the way you've always used your music for bringing in more light. For instance, let's tell them about the time that the electric car tour you sang your way to Washington, D.C. with an electric car tour, just like the Mother Teresa story. You're always right in there selflessly, joyfully, just singing to these causes.
Thank you. Yeah, one of the interesting, I mean, beside the fact that I sang over the senator's garage and the head of the electric car came, the president came and drove me all around the White House and all this stuff.
But in the electric car?
In the electric car, yeah. But the highlight of this trip was not as glamorous, but I was in Window Rock, I think that's what it's called, Window Rock, Arizona, and it's the Navajo nation, or it's the Navajo place where the Navajos live. And so anyway, I was singing in this double wide trailer that was an AA hall, an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting, and after the concert, the Navajo people came up and were crying, literally crying and hugging me. And I was just...
Now, do you see how you are a messiah? You are taking a message through your voice and through the music, and people respond to that. So, again, I see the similarity here to Mary Magdalene's role.
Wow. It was
Own
a real
it,
honor.
Katie.
It was a real honor. Yeah, I thought, gee, many crickets. You know, if I can... If
gee, many crickets, you're so funny. And that's another thing about your show. The reviews I've read, you're very fresh, you're very real, and you don't put on any pretensions. And I think, again, that's why Mary Magdalene chose you. And I'm looking forward to this weekend. You're coming to our workshop on Saturday.
Oh yeah.
And we'll present a couple of songs. We're doing our workshop on the mysteries of Mary Magdalene, the codes, the sacred geometry. It'll be lecture and sound and experiential. And you can email me about that. We really have no space left on Saturday. Some space is left on Sunday. My email is jcerc1@aol.com. So you have the show coming up. Any other projects? I know you're singing with Pablo Rodriguez a bit. What else are you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, we're going to sing at the... I just found out about this. We're going to sing at the Habitat for Humanity concert on December 14th, Friday, from 7 to 9 p.m. at Sebastopol Community Church.
Wonderful.
And we're going to sing the prayer, the Andrea Bocelli.
Oh, I love that
piece. And then we're going to sing this gospel number and stuff.
I've sung that with Pablo. That's really juicy.
Oh, you did it too. That's right.
Yeah.
That's
we share Pablo.
We share this guy. This great voice.
Now, Katie, you and I, have we ever actually sung a duet together?
Oh, I've played for you. I think I've played for you, but I don't know if we... No, I don't think we have.
Well, now that is something we need to create.
Oh, that would be fun,
yeah. We both sing Mary Magdalene songs. Maybe we should
do something right now.
Oh, Matt's Mr. Creative. Okay, Matt, you give us the format. We'll do it.
Well, I don't know. You guys know the music. I don't know. I said what format.
Uh-huh.
What are some options?
What's that? What were you saying?
What are some options? If we were to improvise and create something about Mary Magdalene right on the spot.
Oh, wow.
How would that sound, Katie?
What?
How would that sound?
Oh, man. Well, I know you wrote a beautiful song about her recently.
Actually, that was channeled.
Yeah.
And we're going to play that after we say goodnight to you. We're going to play
good,
it.
Good, good.
And it's on my CD called As Above, So Below. And just like you, the words came to me, forgive me, sweet Jesus, for silence so long. I forgot, as above, so below. And when we went in to record, my partner and I, Randy, were given the words to say before the song, I now break my silence of 2,000 years. I take my place in the divine mysteries as a woman anointed. And as I spoke that, she reverberated through me. It's amazing. It doesn't
wow.
even sound like my voice. And so when you're doing your show, do you feel that she's present, watching over you? Do you feel that inner kind of feeling of her spirit working through you?
Yes. Yes, because usually, I mean, I'm pretty, you know, as you can see on this interview, I'm not a real improvisational speaker, singer, whatever. And I even have some you know, stage fright a little bit. I think, oh my goodness, how am I going to do this?
That's the lovable part of me.
And then I get up there, and I just feel like I there's no worries. It just flows.
Yeah.
It just, and it, there's even new lines written. And
on the spot?
Yes, on the spot. And then, you know, someone will say, right on. You know, I'll start the last show. I did a show up in Mount Shasta, and I started talking about the balance. Marlene started going off on this tirade about the, you got to have the balance between the male and the female. You know what I mean, the balance. And so they were going crazy. Right on.
Yeah, that's fabulous, because that's what it's about.
Yeah.
So I think she's feeding that to you. She's saying, go for it. And it's it's just the way it works. That's just how spirit works.
It's just funny.
Really amazing.
And as to other things, particular projects, because I think the thing in Sacramento is coming up, and I think that that's almost like a beginning. I think it'll go on mm-hmm. from there. But I think the other thing that seems to be coming up is just to keep writing,
mm-hmm.
to keep writing more songs. And I'm not sure what they'll sound like,
mm-hmm. And to not get so busy that you know, that core that feeds you
exactly
is always streaming, right?
Exactly. And so I'm working on my schedule right now too. My
excellent.
Teaching schedule. I have a Pablo's actually going to take one of my days teaching, and I'm going to cut down my schedule a little bit so I can do that.
Well, artists need that, you know, to truly stay inspired. Well, Matt, we're just about ready to say goodnight to Katie. Do you have any?
Well, I might go to Sacramento and see your show.
Oh,
hey,
that'd be great.
Let's go on a car trip.
Oh, and if you do, you know, I'll be, you know, my husband's going to be here, and I've told any of my friends or family, please, I'll probably come out into the lobby and be signing CDs. Please say hi,
great.
Because I'll be,
great.
You know, not. It won't be very social. I won't see many people for hours at a time, so I'll be in the mood to, you know,
you'll be
make connections.
Star. You know, it's hard to be like, what is it, the big fish in the little pond, and now you. It's like you go away and suddenly you become famous, right?
Yeah.
Matt, she's played 20 times here, and you never went over to see her.
Right, you have to leave town to get famous.
That's it.
Yeah, exactly. To notice them, yeah.
Well, Katie, you are delightful. And
oh,
thank you so much,
both of you, Matt and Jan, for having me.
Yeah, and I look forward to seeing you on Saturday. And, hey, let's do a duet.
Hey, there we go. Yeah, we got
Sopranos.
Sorry, I wormed out of that one, but we'll do it.
We'll work out something. We'll have you back, and we'll actually sing that duet.
There you go.
Good
Thanks
night,
a million.
Katie. Thank you.
Hey, good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, Matt, let's do our announcements, and let's finish up maybe with the Mary Magdalene song, because I know Seth has that all ready to go.
Sounds good to me.
My CD. So I have a couple of announcements here. There is a cruise coming up, Oceans of Gratitude Cruise, Avalon Travel, Carol Avalon. Last year I was involved with that with Dr. Emoto. This year it's Michael Beckwith, that neat minister down at the Agape Church, and his wife that does the music, Michael Beckwith of the...
in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he was in the Secret quite a bit. So that's Mind Body Travel, 800-874-1996, Mind Body Travel, Oceans of Gratitude Cruise, February 16th to the 24th. Next announcement is a troop of sound healers are headed off to Egypt, and I'll be there toning away April 16th to May 7th, going to Egypt, Journey of the Heart, Anchoring World, Peace and Harmony. Randy Masters is one of the leaders of that, and Paul Hubbard. And here is the number to call. 512-891-7887. So we'd love to have you come along.
I'll just jump on board and join a trip to Egypt.
Come on.
Okay, well, my announcements are much closer to home being Sonoma County. Those of you that live in the area, we have a concert that's coming Sunday. It's one of our regular Songs of Sonoma series. And Claudia Russell, who's a wonderful singer and songwriter and band leader, et cetera, will be performing. And what's kind of fun is that they used to have a nightclub back in Santa Monica over a decade ago. And body was out by the trash bin, I guess throwing something away, and this guy walked up to her to tell her how much he liked her show. And that guy's name was Bruce, and they got married, so they met by my trash can.
Oh, that's a sweet story.
But that's not why she's booked her. She's booked her because she's a wonderful singer and writer. And opening at 3 o'clock, we have three songwriters in the round. Steve McFessel, who's a friend of Claudia's, and she regarded him highly. Bill DeCarli, and a really fireball of a performer, Jenny Kerr, who showed up last week or a couple weeks ago and just from the audience was very entertaining. So she's going to be part of the show this coming Sunday.
Fun.
And for something slightly unusual, do you know what Jews do on Christmas Eve?
No.
They go out for Chinese food.
Oh, that's cute.
So a tradition started in San Fran- well, a tradition started in San Francisco called Kung Pao Comedy. And a number of years ago, and it's running a Chinese restaurant every year. The Jewish Center in Petaluma is going to pick up the theme this December 24th. Swami Beyondananda. If you know Mr. Swami Beyondananda.
Oh, yeah, he's hilarious. He's
a brilliant humorist. He will do a special set on Jewish humor.
Mm-hmm.
And our own Teresa Tadouri is going to perform the same night. So that's at the B'nai Israel Jewish Center in Petaluma. And you can call them early and put in an order for some Chinese food. So if you have any questions or interest in that, you can give me a call here at Ordinary Miracles, 707-795-2462. And I think that's bulk of my announcements for
tonight.
Excellent.
I think that wraps it up. So, Seth, we'll have you go ahead and roll the Mary Magdalene song, and it's from my CD, As Above, So Below, which is available on CD Baby. Thank you, Seth.
As above, so below.
I'm a crystal man.